Okay, let's stand. We have the scripture reading. It's Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, which I will read to you. And the sermon, as I announced, it's dangerous to be right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You may be seated.
Morning. This will probably be a series, probably about a four-parter, over the next month or so. And I'll probably turn it into a booklet. If your Christian identity, and you're old enough to remember the right-wing extremist Carl Klang, he had a song called "It's Dangerous to Be Right When the Government is Wrong." If you're really old, you probably remember who Carl got his title from. Voltaire is reputed to have said, "It is dangerous to be right in matters on which the established authorities are wrong." And there are some versions that say established men. Any viewpoint that questions, contradicts, or opposes the views maintained and propagated by those who have established themselves as the ruling party or power are perceived as a threat to their authority. And if left unchecked, the prevailing belief of society will replace it with something else. Sometimes this process takes centuries. And other times, the established law and order takes drastic measures to silence the opposition in short order. Many times, it turns out into all-out war. In more recent times, armed conflicts are contrived, what is called a false flag operation. George Orwell observed that in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Those who are so bold to expose corruption blow the whistle to turn our attention to the evildoers. History has had enough examples of rulers taking extreme measures by killing people with persuasive new ideas, or rekindling old ideas that have a ring of goodness to them, or just make common sense. Just ask Galileo. If someone discovers a cure for cancer that is cheap and effective, and they have, do you think the American Cancer Society is going to lead an army of lobbyists to Washington, D.C.? Well, they've had ample opportunities to do so since their founding in 1913. Wow. The same year the Federal Reserve was founded. You think there's a connection? Now, I say that facetiously, but when I did a search with these two entities, I was flabbergasted with page after page of white-collar executives whose resumes did connect the Fed with the ACS, which is a combination of the AMA, monopoly, big pharma, and insurance companies. It all translates into the cash cow that Jews have been milking for over 100 years. If somebody has the time to research this Babylonian connection, it may lead to some very interesting liaisons that some researchers have already touched upon. there is an aristocracy of the rich in America, even though our founders were leery of titles of nobility. Nowadays, they call them CEOs and chairmen of the board. And many believe that they have more political power than governments. This singular point was made convincingly with John Perkins in his runaway bestseller, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. According to Perkins, he began writing this book in the 1980s, but threats and bribes always convinced him to stop. Perkins' function was to convince the political and financial leadership of underdeveloped countries to accept enormous development loans from institutions like the World Bank and USAID. Saddled with debts they could not hope to pay, those countries were forced to acquiesce to political pressures from the United States on a variety of issues. Perkins argues in his book that developing nations were effectively neutralized politically. Had the gap between upper and lower classes driven wider and economies crippled in the long run? In this capacity, Perkins recounts his meetings with some prominent individuals. Perkins describes the role of an economic hitman as follows. Economic hitmen are highly paid professionals who cheat countries around the globe out of trillions of dollars. They funnel money from the World Bank and the U.S. Agency for International Development and other foreign aid organizations into the coffers of huge corporations and the pockets of a few wealthy families who control the planet's natural resources. Their tools included fraudulent financial reports, rigged elections, payoffs, extortion, sex, and murder. They play a game as old as empire, but one that has taken on new and terrifying dimensions during this time of globalization. Of course, the media has their brothel of horrors, who describe Perkins as a frothing conspiracy theorist, a vainglorious peddler of nonsense. Well, perhaps the JFK assassination has its most astute sharpshooters mocking theories that come really close to whodunit. It's dangerous to expose murderers. For those with eyes to see this wicked manipulation of money and people is described in many places throughout the Bible. In describing these heirs of Esau Edom in John 8:44, they are in the business of murder, and lying is their protocol. Not just fudging the facts or cooking the books, but bearing false witness on a grand scale. We can't even get a straight answer on the background of the so-called President of the United States. This was due, in part, to Obama's appointment of Jewess Elena Kagan as Solicitor General, who ran interference for every lawsuit before the Supreme Court regarding Obama's natural-born citizenship, which was shot down every time by her office. She was rewarded for her duplicity and now sits on the Supreme Court. But she's just the most blatant form of corruption. Her roots can be traced to Goldman Sachs. Now, this Jewish banking firm has a stable of conspirators that are packed into the Obama government. I started researching this and I counted at least 48. And most of them are Jews. And all in key governmental positions. Such a deal. When all you have to do is make it dangerous for your opponents to say anything about their lawlessness and hypocrisy. None Dare Call It Conspiracy is the name of a book written in 1971 that pioneered the genre of exposing communism under the guise of many innocuous names and future plans for global government, economy, and religion. Gary Allen, the author, postulates that the conspiracy got legs in the early 1900s with a four-pronged approach. One, establish an income tax, extorting money from the common man. Two, establish a central bank, deceptively named so that people think it's part of the government. Three, have this bank be the holder of the national debt. And four, run that national debt sky high with interest through wars. In 40 years, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and the American people have been feeding at the trough, getting deeper and deeper into debt with wars and rumors of wars. Where have we heard that phrase? As in the days of Noah and Lot, race mixing and homosexuality. This government is very wrong. Under the Obama administration in 2009 alone, Goldman Sachs took more than $20 billion in taxpayer cash through bailouts and then turned around and paid out $16.2 billion as 2009 bonuses, plus an additional $5 billion more in bonuses in 2010. Without Obama's help, Goldman's bonuses would have been zip, zilch, zero. Did you know that corporations like this can simply buy a majority of Congress through campaign contributions amounting to a mere $1.6 billion? That's less than 10% of the $20 billion bailout Goldman Sachs received. Easily affordable with a 10 times return on their investment. We have to understand that they have think tanks run by pathological criminals to control the thinking of society through mind control. But every now and then, somebody with a conscience blows the whistle on their Alice in Wonderland of politics. Likewise, in religion, Christian identity blows the Judeo lid off Christianity. They try to make it dangerous to be right about the Bible through the ADL and SPLC when we simply point out how they are destroying us. Obamacare just might be the bubble that popped on the hoped-for world of Orwell's 1984, a totalitarian dictatorship that controlled every aspect of people's lives. It parallels Mystery Babylon in the prophetic book of Revelation. And the medical cartel is the modern church of reality. It has its priest in white coats, stethoscopes around the neck, and its ceaseless propaganda about an overwhelming concern for the well-being of humanity. A number of U.S. doctors are making headlines over whatever mass vaccination is in vogue and announcing that they will refuse to see patients who hold libertarian views regarding freedom of choice. It's okay for aborting babies, but not okay to resist turning perfectly healthy children into autistic zombies. They say they don't want the unvaccinated children of these libertarian parents in their office because they might give other kids in their office the measles. But do they inform any parent bringing their children into their office that they might have illegal aliens in their office and that there would be no outbreaks without open borders from countries where measles are widespread? Well, I don't have this in my notes, but just yesterday, Hank Roloff from Australia sent me an email about this baby that was given 8 vaccines and died. And then the hospital dilly-dallied and cremated this baby without the parents ever seeing him. It's just an outrageous story. These parents were obviously distraught after losing their infant after being vaccinated. He died in his sleep and was taken to the hospital, already deceased. And then the hospital staff ruled his death as sudden infant death syndrome. The couple was told an autopsy was required. Every time there's an autopsy, the hospital told the parents that they would be under investigation. Well, they're waiting to get an update, and they never received one. They made numerous phone calls, and the weeks turned into months, which turned into a year. Finally, they received verbal confirmation and was told their son was best not to be seen before cremation because of the condition that he was in. Once cremated, they could pick up the remains of their child from the crematory. Well, they were not given the chance to say goodbye. More than 1 year and 4 months had passed, and the family has yet to receive an autopsy report. Turns out their son was given a vaccine not approved for his age and an extra dose of hepatitis B vaccine that he shouldn't have received according to vaccine protocol until 1 year of age. Pretty outrageous, wouldn't you say? It's dangerous to tell your friends and relatives that their reality is an elaborate manipulation. There's no glory or gratitude for whistleblowers today, only slander and contempt, or at best a perplexing novelty like Edward Snowden. But the mother of this child, she's outraged, and she's going on the warpath. She has informed herself about vaccinations. And so now they're going to make her life difficult. It's dangerous to be right when the medical establishment is wrong. Let Hollywood make a movie and explain it all like they do with so many of these things. They made a couple of movies about Obama finally killing Osama, but it can't be called a documentary or nonfiction. The reality of Mystery Babylon is a prefabrication of Marxist dialectics in which the fantasy is sugar-coated for mass consumption. Sugar, or shall we say the cheap high fructose corn syrup, is in fact the main ingredient in the overwhelming concern for the health and well-being of the socially engineered, homogenized human race. Experiments with lab rats have shown that sugar is just as addictive as heroin. And Yet it's one of the most common ingredients on grocery shelves, in hundreds of national brand name products. Refined white sugar is toxic to your body and has absolutely no nutritional value. Corporations are allowed to make money, but should they be allowed to make money by making people sick? Has any AMA-certified doctor ever warned his patients about this potent enemy against a person's well-being? Has anybody ever made the connection between junk food and biological warfare? Why would these corporate executives kill people knowingly? Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should. The problem has mushroomed all over the world in 30 years and is driven by the profits of the food and diet industries combined. Sugar causes diseases and is a primary risk factor in getting sick. And if ignored by professional medical people, their patients get sicker. It might be like crime is good for business in the criminal justice system. Sickness is good for the medical monopoly, and it's how some people get rich on the suffering of others. Several times, either directly or indirectly, Christ alludes to himself as a physician. He said to them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they who are sick." Our nation is sick with sin, and we need the great physician, not AMA quacks. He can heal any one of us of any affliction, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, or even financial. There are going to be times in your life when you'll need God to heal you or your loved one. And little do most people know, but reading the Bible can heal you also. The Bible isn't magical illusions. It is miraculous reality. And it will put you in the right frame of mind to be healed. The most amazing things can happen to you if you have faith. The government wants you to divert your faith from Christ to mere politicians. It's dangerous to be right with Jesus when the government is playing God, or actually is doing the bidding of corporation gods, having the power which came from ill-begotten monies, to play a game of life and death with a consumer society. So we might need to modify our phrase, "It's dangerous to be right when the bottom line of corporations are wrong." The root of all evil is the lust for personal gain. And what does a person do when they have more money than they could ever spend in their lifetime? Well, their megalomania goes to their head and they want to rule the world without Jesus Christ. To those of us who are sane, this is just insanity. Run amok with the inmates running the asylum. As I mentioned in my last sermon, the root of all evil is not money, it's the love of money. I get these emails all the time from Africa and Pakistan, where my ministry has been chosen to receive a sizable amount of money, which is a scam that some people fall for. However, I must be doing something right because the other day I got the real deal and hit the jackpot. According to the first email from a bona fide Nigerian prince, no less, I somehow won their national lottery in the sum of $1 million. And the person with the winning ticket signed it over to Kinsman Redeemer Ministries. And the prince is going to send it to me for free as soon as I send him my bank account and routing number, along with a measly $500 to show my good faith. And he'll transfer the money to my bank. And then I get another email. And he's a leader from Kenya who wants to give me and our whole congregation, everybody here today, free health care for life. All we have to do is give them our bank account information, Social Security number, and all the necessary health information and medical history for him to get started. And then if we pay only $700 a month for a health care insurance policy plan with only a $10,000 deductible, he can make it happen right now. Such a deal! On a back-to-reality note, sort of, I also received an unbelievable email from Pastor Blanchard. If Ebola, measles, and influenza aren't enough to stir a panic for mass vaccinations and straitjackets, there's a new epidemic being reported now that it has been identified and given an official government seal of approval for medical enforcement, perhaps with SWAT teams with Uzis and white jackets. Until recently, a mental disorder was largely ignored because it had not yet received an official government label. But now that we know what it is, we can take preventative steps to counteract the disease as soon as possible in order to gain immunity before vaccines are developed and administered like rabies shots. In an attempt to curb a mass rush for a change in diet and reform, the field of psychiatry, which is, by the way, in case you didn't know, a Jewish creation perfected in the old USSR, whereby gulags and mental asylums were used to destroy people who opposed Jewish communism, and has no foundation in science whatsoever, a psychiatrist can do what no police officer can do, no judge can do, no forensic laboratory can do, and that is to commit someone to confinement under the Mental Health Act with no evidence whatsoever. But don't you know, it's for their own good. Just one word is enough, or a sentence taken out of context, to label you with this new mental disorder called orthorexia nervosa. The gods of psychiatry, in tandem with the government, have given the green light to start pushing a public relations campaign to increase public awareness of this new epidemic that may affect your mental health. One might think this could be a comedy sketch on Saturday Night Live, but CNN, Popular Mechanics, Fast Company, and other media outlets have begun the propaganda, or public service announcements. Well, what the heck is it, you may be wondering? Orthorexia nervosa is defined as a psychological obsession for biologically pure and healthy nutrition. It's a label concocted by psychiatrists designating those who are concerned about eating healthy. characterized by disordered eating, fueled by a desire for clean or healthy foods. Those diagnosed with the condition are overtly preoccupied with the nutritional makeup of what they eat. These experts say that our demand for nutrient-dense, healthy food is a mental disorder that must be treated. Well, if you see a person in a restaurant with a little Tupperware bowl containing carrots or celery, there might be a phone number near the cash register in which to report the person. After all, other people might get the same idea and bring their preferred organic veggies. And if everybody did this, they'd put these eating establishments out of business. And we can't have that. Now, it's dangerous to be right or healthy when the food police are wrong. Ever wonder why donuts are associated with police? In essence, if you turn your back on low-quality, mega-agriculture, corporation food containing known cancer-causing toxic additives and a rich history of corruption, lobbying government with big campaign contributions in a continuous profits over people mindset, then you may be suffering from a mental illness. Ray Kroc made McDonald's what it is today, and he was known as one of the biggest campaign contributors in the Republican Party. Time magazine named him one of the top 100 most important people of the century. Nowadays, these chains contribute to both parties because it's good business to play both sides of the fence when the government is deciding what regulations are to be put on food. The maraschino cherry on top of that Hostess cupcake is that if you're the unlucky perfect picture of health and get targeted as one of those obsessive health nuts and then labeled with the pseudoscientific disorder of orthorexia, you might be prescribed known toxic pharmaceutical drugs from the same corporate conglomerates that you're trying to avoid by buying alternative food products without the poisons that can kill you. Which is more dangerous, eating junk food or telling the junk food industry to go to hell? The Jewish psychiatry of the communist is now identical to ours in the Western world. A godless, criminal, atheist doctrine of Frankenstein medicine, and will condemn a man for being right with God. It's not right to put Twinkies and Skittles in the temple of God. It is a weapon against white people. And if you dare call it Jewish, you can be called an anti-Semite, which in the old USSR, anti-Semitism was punishable by death. It is a mentality war in which the mind of Christ will not be altered by things God never meant for man to consume. A lot of people misunderstand Matthew 15:11. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man. And they use that to justify that they can eat anything. But Peter still didn't get the parable. So Christ explained in verse 17 that every food deemed clean by God is processed in the stomach and eliminated through the excretionary system. Of course, it has to be implied that he's not talking about pork or synthetic preservatives or red dye number four. Otherwise, Christ would be contradicting the law. Unclean food does not or does defile our physical body. Things that are not to be eaten are called abominations. When has God ever changed his mind on any abomination? Never. The point Jesus was making is the rhetoric that comes out of our mouths that defile us, because the heart is our moral barometer. Our brain is now the Holy of Holies, and anything unclean, synthetic, or hybrid is not welcome in the temple of God. Unfortunately, we do not live in a perfect world, and many of our people will oftentimes have no other choice than to eat or go hungry. Well, you know, that might be a good time to look into fasting. Not to be confused with fast foods, but a fast way to improving your health. Obama has said a lot of dumb and patently false things, but the other day he said, no religion is responsible for terrorism. People are responsible for violence and terrorism, end quote. If we are to obey God rather than man, as Peter proclaims, then obeying government that is void of God's law is terrorizing Christians who are right about believing what is good and evil. For example, I believe that it is wrong and evil for non-whites to be rulers over our race. It's the law of God. Paul writes about Christian government, not to be confused with godless government, in Romans 13:3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. As odd as it may seem in this day and age of terrorism, Christianity should be a terror to Barry Sotero. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. The enemies of Christ are violent and take the kingdom by force. Obama is a terrorist to the Christian world. They have reversed God's law to be a terror to good works and not evil. Having a mongrel ruling over us proves the wages of sin, an incredible spike in black-on-white crime, a loss of respect among other nations, a plunging economy, a fall into degeneracy, a proliferation of antichrist religions, and the list goes on and on and on. It's dangerous to be right when they call evil good and good evil. Both the ministers behind the pulpit and the forefront of the body politic make being right with God a dangerous proposition. And that's because they are so horribly wrong in what they think the church and state of society should be. For example, a reader board at a community church in Denver recently said, we celebrate evolution. It's a celebration of all things Darwin in the church. The idea of the evolution weekend is for Christian, Jewish, Catholic, Buddhist, and Unitarian congregations to ignore the Bible and expound on failed scientific speculation at the request of an atheist. The avowed atheist who organized this event is Michael Zimmerman, a Jew who teaches at Evergreen College in Olympia, Washington. Now, I know a little about Evergreen because I used to live in Washington. I can tell you that it's one of the most wacky campuses in the country, teaching everything but the preservation of white Christian America. This church, if you want to call it that, says on its welcome page, quote, "We take the Bible seriously, but not literally. We see science and religion as two compatible worldviews. We are interested in ecumenical and interfaith cooperation for the common good. We are a faith community that celebrates the spiritual gifts of God that empower us to engage in the struggles of life, to care for each other, and to serve Christ where we work and live. Messiah Community Church is a reconciling in Christ congregation." I say parenthetically, reconciliation of all things is code for universalism. Going on. "We welcome the participation of people of all ages, ethnic and racial backgrounds, sexual orientations, gender identities." I guess Michelle Michael Obama would be welcome there. "Educational backgrounds, abilities, and economic conditions. All who want to join in community to live in relationship with God and be of service to people. Shalom." Pastor Wolfgang Stahlberg, sounds like a nice German name, who's a member of the Progressive, that's code for communist, Christian Alliance of Colorado, end quote. Well, the problem with all of that is the God of the Bible will have no such relationship with such blatant blasphemies that are in his face. Rubbing the Lord's nose in the idols of Baal. Aside from embracing evolution, they claim to seek justice, peace, and the inclusion for all creation. I read a comment, a fella said, "Their church picnics must resemble a circus freak show." It's dangerous to not be a progressive universalist when the church allows the bastard, the sodomite, the communist globalist, and barnyard creatures to enter the congregation. Justice for pigs. Let the swine enter the sanctuary. Peace for the vultures and roadkill critters. Come on down for the altar call. I can hear it now. They must get along famously with the government of devils. They must live very safe and secure lives, not having to worry about SWAT teams knocking down their door for hoarding organic carrots. Benjamin Franklin was aware of these scoundrels and said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." The idea he was putting forth was that we cannot compromise freedom because freedom is not free. Government spying on its people is an element of Baal worship. It's a major foundation of Orwell's "Big Brother is Watching You." Keeping liberty is dangerous. Jefferson wrote, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants." Those who spy on us are wrong. Judge Andrew Napolitano, who wrote a book coincidentally titled "It's Dangerous to Be Right When the Government is Wrong," said last year that, quote, "The first American patriot that shoots down one of these drones that comes too close to his children in his backyard will be an American hero." But here's a new twist. You can buy your own drone on the Home Shopping Network with camera for under $100. Legislatures are busy preparing laws to make them illegal. Again, Jefferson puts things in proper perspective. He says, when government fears the people, there is liberty. But when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. Churches like the lapdog religion in Denver are no different than the crowds that rejected Jesus in his 3-year ministry. Because of the arrogance of authority in the priestcraft, which became symbiotic to the political demands of Judea and Rome. As the Lord's reputation increased, many became more hostile towards him. Even his followers were falling by the wayside. Because of what Jesus said, many from among his disciples or students quit following him and no longer walked with him. I think that's very similar to the parable of the sower. Some of the seeds were devoured by fowls, meaning the wicked. Some fell on stony ground, meaning hardened hearts. And some fell among thorns and were choked, mongrelization and universalism. But some of the seed fell on fertile ground and became fruitful. Are people being convicted of their sins and repenting and thus following Christ? They became more God-fearing than fearing anything man or government could do to them because Christ gave them hope. Hope is the only thing stronger than fear. A little hope is effective, but a lot of hope is dangerous. It's dangerous to stand your ground when it is fertile and growing and healthy. There's nothing like a clear mind that is focused and Christ-centered. The corrupt government of America is part of Mystery Babylon and wallows in confusion. We're treated like mushrooms, kept in the dark and fed manure. It's dangerous to be light when the government is dark. It's dangerous for the United States Government, Inc. to be wrong when the people are right. Most Americans do not believe Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone assassin. Most Americans believe 9/11 was an inside job. Most Americans believe something is wrong with the government, but they don't know who is right. I often refer to TV newsmen as media whores, because they are paid to lie to the American public and to form public opinion. In a way, they play God, being the potter and we the clay. Now, I've already alluded to the shoddy journalism about health and vaccinations. It is dangerous to expose prefabricated stories about an imminent disease turning into a hysterical pandemic. And the only saviors in sight are unelected experts saying, "Hi, I'm from the Center for Disease Control, and I'm here to help you. Please cooperate with our quarantine and impose treatment. Thank you." If you ask these doctors, who are ready to stick a needle in your arm with some mysterious serum, what is it made from? And they can't tell you, but you know that it contains awful ingredients that a witch's brew would be proud of: mercury, formaldehyde, aspartame, aluminum, monkey pus, etc. Did you know that mercury is the second most poisonous element known to man? and more people are learning the facts, which are denied and mocked, just like they did with cigarettes. And their pillar of reality begins to crumble and collapse. The cabal of liars from the CIA, NSA, FBI, and all the other alphabet soup agencies, to the president of perjury, their pillars can no longer support the foundation of lies. And like a cornered rat, the government will go into attack mode and deliver painful bites to anyone who questions their authority. The U.S. banking system, and thus the U.S. government, is basically insolvent. The so-called global economy is downright ugly. It's not a safe time for rats who have royally screwed up. Our national debt is so astronomical that it can never be repaid, even if future generations are sold into slavery in perpetuity. Some of the rats can jump ship, but the ship is still sinking and can only be bailed out so many times before the buckets or the bailers wear out. Greece and Italy cannot fail without devastating much of Europe. Europe cannot suffer without causing problems in China. China cannot slow down without causing major problems for the rest of the world. Everything is interconnected. Only little Iceland seems to have known what to do with the problem. They repudiated their debt, seeing it as a fraud in the first place, and then started arresting the banksters and prosecuted them for ruining their money system. It's dangerous to suggest declaring a biblical jubilee when the all-seeing eye of the mother of pyramid schemes is blind. Brian Williams is, or should I say was, a pillar of reality that fell from grace of NBC. Williams was one of the master manipulators and paid handsomely for his whoredoms. He is no longer the anchor of the evening news because he lied about his Chinook helicopter in Iraq being hit by RPGs back in 2003. He only admitted his lie after crew members of the actual chopper that was hit by rockets went public with the truth. He didn't really say that he lied, but rather, get this, quote, "I don't know what screwed up in my mind that caused me to conflate one aircraft with another," end quote. Surely there's more to this story than just one little fudging of facts. If I may quote John Rappaport, who said, "Mind control has one basic purpose, the construction of false reality. The embedding of false reality to such an extent that it seems absurd to question it or even notice it. Purple and pink raccoons? Of course there are purple and pink raccoons. Why do you even bring it up? Without purple and pink raccoons, the world as we know it would collapse." End quote. We are led to believe that the news is a pillar of virtue. How dare anyone call into question the integrity of a news story? But something doesn't add up. Brian Williams' reputation was destroyed over some piddly claim of being under fire, which pales in comparison to Hillary Clinton being under sniper fire in Bosnia when video footage reveals an imaginary memory, to boost the bravery of Jezebel under fire? Does the media explain the discrepancy for exposing one and not the other? No. It's not just Brian Williams who has been taken out of the picture, but three of his colleagues who were killed the same week. Bob Simon, a veteran CBS News and 60 Minutes correspondent, was killed in New York City in a car crash. Ned Colt, a former NBC international correspondent, died in a massive stroke. And within hours, David Carr collapsed and died in his New York Times office. Why were they killed? What did they all have in common? Apparently, they all had second thoughts about how their media bosses presented the news and sought to do what was right. The four of them had formed an independent video news company last month and filed the necessary security documents that would allow them access to the Kremlin's most secret archive of evidence relating to the spectacular September 11th, 2001 attack on the World Trade Center. Russian President Putin recently disclosed that they have satellite surveillance of 9/11 and would show that it was an inside job by the American government. Spearheading the new company was Carr, who, in his capacity at the New York Times, championed Edward Snowden. And after watching the documentary movie Citizen Four, which just recently won an Academy Award, became very perturbed about what America was turning into. Knowing that they may be following in the footsteps of Tom Clancy and Andrew Breitbart, they moved forward regardless of the clear and present danger to their very lives. But the Russian report went further in a grim follow-up stating that the Obama regime has sent a clear message to the elite media class daring anyone else to expose their darkest secrets. This faggot Nimrod who occupies the White House is threatening to outlaw all websites that disagree with him and has jumped on the bandwagon of an emerging police state of armed sodomites with a badge to sign into law a proposal to classify any criticism by the American people against the police as a hate crime. I know that not every cop is a Negro worshiper. Some are a modern Cornelius, and we need them in uniform. All I can say is that I will bathe in the glory of the truth. I will immerse myself in the danger if it means standing your ground for what is right. For we are blessed when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for Jesus Christ. The truth shall make us free from the slimiest of liars and those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in Gehenna. What are we promised by the God of Israel? A kingdom! If you can love it enough to fight for it. Well, we'll continue along this dangerous path next time, but only because it is the path of righteousness. Thank you.